support of the clergy today.
Okay, right on time. Okay, let me start out by just talking about what I'm gonna. I know you're gonna talk about this too, but I'm gonna do something. But I think this day should be an official Tom Hike Day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Tom has his family here. Yeah. So Tom, how many days?
10.
10. This is Tom Platt, official work commission meeting. Tom, you've been an amazing value and opportunity for the poor, creating value for everyone here for so many years. We really appreciate that. I know we have lots of other discussions and celebrations and what have you, but this is the official work commission Tom Hyde Day.
Okay?
Great. So let me just go through a couple of high points. Real exciting news besides Tom. It's according to the recent report of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Skip Channel is once again ranked the number one U.S. waterway for waterborne tonnage. An impressive 309.5 million short tons of cargo moved through the channel in 2023. That's the most recent numbers that we have so far. This is a 5.3% increase in total tonnage from the previous year. The gap between us and number one and the number two ports was bigger than 97% of all the ports in the U.S.
Wow.
The gap alone is bigger than ports number five through number 150. So that gap is 92 million tons. That's how big it is.
Okay.
You just have to put that in perspective. Our channel handles almost 13% of the country's total waterborne tonnage. This ranking reminds us just how vital the Eastern Strip Channel is for our region and entire nation. Hundreds of companies and more than 3 million jobs depend on our channel, and at Port Houston, it's our job to protect this asset. We continue to be a voice in Washington, D.C. related to various legislations that's being discussed. Regarding tariffs, we know that if implemented, the tariffs would have an impact on our customers, on the industry and consumers overall. We are, like everyone else, analyzing the data and assessing the situation. Tariffs would impact our own expenses here at Port Houston, including our ship-to-shore crane purchases, even though they were purchased last year, for example, and are going to be delivered in 2026. We support the end goal of strengthening domestic manufacturing. We are encouraging the administration to work with our industry to develop a path forward that minimizes unintended consequences on American workers, exporters, and consumers. Earlier this month, Commissioner Don Carlos, Commissioner Fitzgerald, and Commissioner Rob, and former Commissioner Neal attended a ribbon cutting to celebrate the opening of the new Solid Bay Pavilion. This is part of the Port Houston East Harris County Greens Phase program, which was $1 million, by the way, and promoted and curated by Commissioner Meese. Thank you for that and service. We're really excited that we're able to support the community's beautification work and giving them a space to gather, enjoy the outdoors. This is just one of the ways that we are connecting the community, and we're happy to do that. Commissioner Meese, why don't you join us at the table today? Yes, sir. Let's just speak in a minute. Hey, Charlie, let's see, what do we got here? Okay. All right. So we are now going to approve the minutes. And let the commissioners go ahead. Do you have anything else to say? Maybe a shout out for.
I'd like to say to Tom, he and I has been around here probably longer than anyone else. Now that he's gone, I'll be able to say what I want to and nobody can hurt. Thank you, Tom.
For sure.
Thank you for all the many, many years that you've served the port well. Thank you. Thank
you. And thank you for every time there's a new one of us. You are always so welcoming and always willing to sit there and educate us every single time. So thank you.
I can vouch for that.
Still going on.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, let's go ahead then and talk. Let's do approval of minutes, D1.
Motion.
Second.
All fair say aye.
Aye.
All right.
Okay, Charlie, I think you're up now.
Sure. And we have a very full agenda today. So as we do in the full agendas, a lot of the remarks about the economy or the tonnage and the volumes will be a little bit later in the reporting with the staff. Starting off, last week we had a very important meeting. We had the Congressman from Georgia, Mike Collins, who is the chair of Water Resource and Environment Subcommittee of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee here. He oversees the committee that does the congressional intent to the core of what they're supposed to be doing. So very, very important group. Met with him with many ports. We talked about, obviously, our criticality and importance to the national economy. We talked about how the laws could be improved to provide the core a little more clear direction of the intent of Congress to improve on efficiency, doing it the right way. And those conversations, again, are just one more way we're working on behalf of our region and emphasizing the importance of the port, the channel, and the maritime economy to the whole area and, of course, the nation. Also, very, very good news. You might have heard that the Navy has accepted Mayor Whitmire's request to do Fleet Week here. That will be in November. It's still forming, and by the way, it's the 250th year anniversary of the Marine Corps and the Navy. It is our first formal Fleet Week. We've done other events over the years. We've had submarines. We had the U.S. Constitution come back in the, I think it was the 1920s. It just drew an amazing crowd. But this will be the next one. It will be right now at Dock 8 and 9 at the Trunning Basin. It will be at the Bayport Ro-Ro. We'll have a small aircraft carrier there. And it's really going to be a neat way for the Navy and the Marine Corps to show our community what they do for outreach and for us to show them what our port does. So we're very excited about it. A lot of work to be done yet. The details now have to come out now that the agreement's been made. And we're very excited to support that as a partner with the city, the county, the Navy, and the Marine Corps. So with that being said, I do want to recognize Port Houston's Chief Operating Officer, Tom Height. He has worked for us for 43 years, 9 minutes, and 17 seconds. I use his method of accounting. He's very, very exact. And, he's been letting us know his countdown for the last few months daily as a reminder. But, you know, honestly, it's not done to be a short timer. It's done because of his commitment of all the things he's done for the port and the concern he wants to leave it as good as he can. It's really out of respect and care and love for what he's done versus I'm out of here and gone. See you later. So since Tom's tenure, the port's total tonnage has tripled. Our operating revenue is up 12 times. Our container volume when he started was about 330,000. Now we're almost 4.2 million. The dramatic change, by the way, he's so old, there weren't cell phones. For some of you young people, Uber, computers, desktop, a lot of other things, stone tablets and chisels. You've had so many roles here at the port. Do you have an idea how many different roles? Five main roles.
So accounting and commercial, ops. And back to CFO and then CEO.
Really, he has had an incredible career, and his career has been based on the desire to do more and learn more and understand more and more of the ship machine. He's a great example of somebody that's gotten into nearly every facet of what we do, leading to his ability to help guide us to excellence. He's dedicated his career to the port. We appreciate him and all that he's done to help grow the port what it is today. Tom does have his family here, his son Matthew and his wife Danielle. They just had a beautiful baby. His wife Jennifer and his long-term EA Kelly. She's here in support, and I think she is probably the most scared of losing her good friend Tom. They've worked together for a long time. He also has another son and daughter, and they have work conflicts. They couldn't be here, but he's a loving family. So look, Tom's retirement is also an opportunity for change. He's very good at what he's done. The commission knows we've done a restructuring. Tom has been so diverse in many areas, we've separated it out. And as of May 1, Jessica Shaver is going to assume the role of Chief Administrative Officer. It'll oversee the aspects of the organization like strategic planning and people, PSEO, and a number of other groups. And then we also are seeking a chief operating officer after today's action. Hopefully we'll be formally out on the street. These new roles are really to join the other chiefs and myself to lead Port Houston going forward, trying to replace the irreplaceable Tom. And with the direction of the commission, I'm confident we're in a great place and only going to get better. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, great. All right, man.
Of course.
I really want to thank everybody. This has been a great journey through 43 years, but it's been with a lot of different people. A lot of great people. This organization is solid. I'm very confident moving forward that it will continue to be solid because of the people. Kelly, thanks. It's been a long time. So, you know, keep it going. Keep my pension coming. I'll be
100% funded.
I had nothing to do with that for the last 6 years. But thank you very much. It's been a great career. Been a lot of fun, a lot of great friends going forward. So, thank you.
What are your plans?
Grandkids and travel.
Good plans.
We got the oldest grandson's playing Little League baseball now, so I'm back in my glory days.
Right.
My two sons, so I get to start all over. It's perfect timing.
Well, we all know that behind a great man is a great family. So, thank you so much for supporting Tom in these 43 years. Without a great family, it's really hard to have great balance of business. We understand that, so thank you very much.
She wants me to travel.
Yeah. And you should.
On my own.
That's the definition. Oh, I didn't get that one. Okay. I'm pretty Roger in love. He's happy to take him from the history. Okay, great. Well, any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, great. Next item is a public comment. And Eric, we only have, I see we have one sign up here, which is Commissioner Roy Meese. You don't have to get up if you want. You can sit there and go ahead.
Well, I really wanted to come down and thank Port for the beautiful community. The vision that they built in the city of Pasadena and paid for. It's a program that y'all started here when I was here, and I think it's a wonderful program. I hope it continues. East Harris County is really inundated with traffic. It's nothing, I can stop at any light. I can count 4, 5, 6 our trucks. To me, that's money, and I understand it, and that progress, and we've got to continue it. But a lot of these cities in East Harris County should be thanked for being flooded with that type of traffic. But it doesn't bother me because after I got here, I realized that every one of those trucks made a lot of money. So they're kind of, you know, what is it, something $8 million or something, or $1 billion to the state of Texas, probably somewhere some $14, $15 billion to the United States. You don't stop that. It's the biggest engine, as far as I'm concerned, in Harris County, state of Texas, and I'm very appreciative and really appreciative of the Port recognizing and placing that pavilion. And we've put one in Channelview, put one down by the Port, and I think we should continue to try to pick a city a year maybe that we could do something for them that are inundated. The ones that really need it, it's not Houston. They don't put up with all of those trucks. I can talk with any light, count 6 trucks coming and going. I mean, it's a good thing. And I appreciate the Port recognizing it. And on behalf of the city of Pasadena, I wanted to thank the Port publicly for doing that. And it is a beautiful graffiti, and you ought to come out and see it. It did a wonderful job.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And clearly, you were the driving force behind the Harris County $1 million program. And we can assure you that we are in the process now of trying to expand it and broaden that program so that we can involve a lot of our community partners to make it bigger, better, and faster. So by the end of the year, we'll be announcing, I think, the plan is to have the all the analysis done and a new program put in place by the end of the year. So thank you for starting.
I appreciate my time here, and I appreciate all of the friendships I miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you 11 years, you've been nowhere you're supposed to be on duty.
And we really miss your change order questions.
I'm so happy that it happened to be the day that I came so I could say bye to Tom. He carried me for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped off every morning before I came into this room to go into Tom's office, and then I made Rogers, but I always went to Tom to figure out exactly where I was at and mm-hmm. what we were. And done a wonderful job, and I know everybody in this court appreciates Tom, appreciates what you did do for the court, and how you kept everybody, all these commissioners, up to snuff.
No question. All right, well, I appreciate that. Thanks. No other folks signed up, right? Okay, good. All right, well, let's go then to executive. And Eric, I think you're going to take us through the items.
Sure, very quickly. The first three items really are prompted by Tom's retirement. We already talked about a services contract for executive search. We're adding some assistant secretaries just in case I get hit by a bus. And then finally, Tom has really been the center point for our emergency purchases, and so we're adding three of the senior officers to take that one. That's the first three items. The other policies, the other items, 4, 5, and 6, were all already reviewed and approved by the governor's committee on March 23rd. The first item, number 4, relates to the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and the OFAC compliance policy, and basically, not a lot of changes. We had a review by outside counsel, and they thought they were in pretty good shape. We did some streamlining, some make definitions consistent, and changes to, again, streamline training. We have two other policies, and I want to give my colleague, Rebecca Andrews, credit for working on those. One is a be-in-charge adoption policy to sort of put in place as a formal policy the things that we do when we're increasing fees and charges for things like licenses and permits. We were really acting more in our with our government hat on as opposed to terminal operating. And for example, we're going to have public comment period, public meeting, some steps like that. We were generally doing that, but now it's in a formal policy that we think that's the way to go. And then finally, the last thing is a permitting and license policy. And again, it reflects actions that we were doing, but it's looking at a formal policy. And we also set forth our policy on permitting and license for fair, for safe and efficient commerce, reasonable and fairness, considering the needs of everyone, for using public resources. So, and then there's one piece that we think is needed as a house cleaning measure. If a permit is pulled and someone doesn't act after 2 years because of changing conditions, we're not going to have a provision that has to be, they have to come back to us. And that's not atypical for a lot of government agencies. So those are the items. And if you have any questions, I'll ask Rebecca or Jenna, who worked on the fact, to answer them. So I don't have to. And otherwise, I'd ask for your
motion.
So moved.
Okay, any questions or comments? All those say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Instead, this is equity. We have no items on channel infrastructure. Lori, Donnelly, or there. Hey, Lori, good to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to be here. Nice to see you all, especially on Tom Hite Day. So, love that. So, just a few high-level channel infrastructure updates. Army Corps is expected to award their second Project 11 contract at the end of this week, which is for the construction of the Bellway 8 dredge material placement area. This 500-acre site located east of Bellway 8 and north of the Houston Ship Channel will eventually be used, hopefully sometime next year or the year after, to dewater sediment dredged from the Houston Ship Channel between Sims Bayou and Boggy Bayou. The two remaining port-led Project 11 dredging contracts with Weeks Marine and Cowan Marine are progressing on budget. And the last segment, Segment 1C, in the Galveston Bay area between Bayport and Barber's Cut, is on schedule to be fully completed and open to two-way traffic by late Q2, early Q3 this year. So we have a pretty light agenda this morning, at least for channel infrastructure, of six items, H1 through H6, for your consideration. And today I'd just like to highlight the last one, H6. It's a permit for Kinder Morgan Liquids Terminal to install a new firewater pump building and intake pipe at its existing dock facility in Pasadena. No change to the dock footprint is expected, and the new equipment was coordinated with Port Houston's fire department. So good news all around. And then for Commissioner Clunan, item H1 provides renewal of the CenterPoint Energy Resources pipeline licenses and a transmission line. So pending any questions, I respectfully ask for your approval of these six items, H1 through H6.
So moved, Mr. Chair. Second. And absolutely, we have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? And Commissioner Clunan is stepping out of number one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thanks, Lori. Okay, up next, Kyle is on it. There he is. Hey, Joan.
Good morning, Chairman Campbell and Commissioners. My name is Isaac W. Kyle. I'm the Director of Real Estate for the Port of Houston, and I'm presenting on behalf of the Commercial Division that's following the items. I-1 through I-4, and I'll kind of give a brief rundown of Item I-4, it's a memorandum of understanding to make a temporary easement permanent at the Beltway A dredge placement site with Harris County. So we'll be working with them to move that forward and discuss the terms of that. And so I request your approval for items I-1 through I-4.
Motion and second. Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Approved. Hey, I just wanted to also that Commissioner Alan Robb is online with us. Commissioner, if you ever have a question, just raise your hand or something so I know. Okay.
Thanks, Rick.
Did I misunderstand what he said? He said 1 through 4. There's actually 1 through 6, isn't it? Items?
No, that's the best question.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to sell the old book. I got the original one, y'all.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Up next, Duncan, good to see you.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning, team. Today, we have Erica Brown here from Forfitts Massard. That's our external accounting firm. She'll be here presenting the results of our 2024 audit.
We have a handout on the side.
Thank you. Yes, you should have it in your book. So we are required to communicate certain things to the Port Commission related to the conduct of our audit and also the results. You've been given a copy of our presentation. We're not going to go through the whole thing. A lot of it is things that we tell y'all every year. But we're just going to focus on pages 3, 10, and 13. But if you have any questions in any other pages, feel free to ask, and I can definitely answer any of your questions. So as it relates to our engagement, there are a lot of different moving parts that we work on. We have the ACFR, which is the Annual Comprehensive Financial Report, and that's the big report that y'all have there, the like 150 pages or so. That is done in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, generally accepted government auditing standards. We also audit the Promotion and Development Fund, which is a small fund of the port, and that rolls into the ACFR. And then we also did an audit on the OPEB plan. For all of those audits, we had an unmodified opinion. We had no findings, no significant deficiencies, material weaknesses, anything like that. So a great audit, a great for Curtis's team, a great, overall. There were some adjustments, and I'll get to those in a minute. We also do a report on internal control over financial reporting, and that's related to more of the compliance side of the port, just ensuring that y'all are in, y'all are following all the rules that you should be following, that the internal controls are, you know, what they should be. We had no issues in any of those that we looked at as well. And then finally, we do a single audit. And so we do a federal single audit, and that's in accordance with uniform guidance. And then we do a state single audit, and that's in accordance with Texas grant management standards. We audited two programs that were really the same program. It was related to infrastructure funding that y'all received, related to all of the projects. And so it was kind of one project that y'all were using both state and federal funding for, and we had no issues in our state single audit and no findings as well. So overall, just a great audit for y'all. I'm going to move to page 10 in y'all's handout. Some things we just wanted to discuss. So this year, the port implemented GASB 101 as a new standard as it relates to compensated absences. The port had always been showing a compensated absence liability. This standard really just clarified how that should be calculated. There was an adjustment that the port did. They added about $900,000 to the liability because of that standard and adding some of the what we called salary-related payments to that liability. But overall, it really wasn't, you know, that big of a push and that big of a change for that. When you're looking at the ACFR, you will notice that note 13, there is a subsequent event disclosure in there. That is something that we talked to management about and had them add to the ACFR, mainly related to the tariffs and just the uncertainty of what's going on. The note really just says kind of things we don't know, and the port doesn't know what's going to happen because of the tariff, but it is just something I wanted to bring to y'all's attention. And then finally, we always just like to let y'all know about the different judgments and estimates that are in the ACFR, and, you know, we have looked through those as well. So the different judgments and estimates include the valuation of investments. There's the allowance for the receivables. Commitments and contingencies, which relates to any type of lawsuits, other kind of commitments that y'all have, the net pension liability, the net OPEB asset, y'all are overfunded, so it's a net OPEB asset, and then arbitrage, and y'all have an arbitrage liability right now as well. Okay, and then finally on page 13, I just wanted to go through the adjustments that we had. So the first adjustment, which was proposed by us and recorded by the port, was $21 million related to lease receivables and related deferred inflows of resources.
I'm sorry, this is page 11 in the
page. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
Page 11.
The handout that we gave, it's page 11.
Okay, go ahead. There was, I think, what we're calling a glitch in the system when the lease receivable information was put in, and it was missing some of the payment streams. And so this adjustment is just to update that payment stream for that particular lease. Management has gone through the lease query system. They've gone through all of the other leases, and there were no other issues with any of the other leases. So it really just seems kind of a one-off on this one specific lease. And then there's actually four other uncorrected misstatements. There was one that we had late last week that didn't make it into y'all's packet that I'll talk about. But the first one is, so these are adjustments that we proposed to management, and management has decided to not fix them, and they will fix them in fiscal year 25. If they need to. So the first one is related to the Curtin lawsuit that, or I guess disputed claim, it wasn't a lawsuit, that was approved in January by the Port Commission. So the first adjustment was just to add that liability since that was known as of 12/31. The second adjustment relates to sales tax. So currently the port is showing sales tax collected as gross, meaning that the port is a pass-through for certain sales tax. So the sales taxes are collected and then they are sent to the state. And so the port is showing those as net, meaning they're showing a payable and then kind of a negative payable. Based on some GASB 84 guidance, it really should be shown as gross. So there should be kind of an asset side, like an other asset, and then a payable side. Overall, it still doesn't affect the net position. It's just kind of a presentation of that. The third one is actually an adjustment to the fiscal year 23 financials. At year end, there's a lot of, sometimes there's a lot of uncertainty as it relates to grant revenues, kind of how much should be, is going to be reimbursed and how much is going to get back. The port sometimes estimates what they think they're going to have as their grant receivable. And so last year they overestimated what they thought they were going to get back. So this adjustment is to adjust the 23 financials for the overestimated amount. As of 24, that amount was received, so it kind of all washes out in 24. And then the one that y'all don't have on your list that we were talking about as of the end of the year, I mean, as of the end of last week, was really just a net position reclassification. So there's three different kind of areas of net position, and unrestricted net position. It's an adjustment to decrease unrestricted net position and increase net investment and capital assets. Again, it kind of nets to zero. It doesn't change the net position. It's really just a reclass thing, and we have talked to management, and they're going to adjust that next year in their calculation. So, that is all I have. Any questions?
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
Can you kind of walk me through the $21 million adjustment?
Yes.
Essentially, is that what did that make its way to the balance sheet for 2024?
Yes. So management made that adjustment. They did. So in accordance with GASB 87, the port has to take for all their leases. So y'all have lease pipeline leases. Y'all lease the CPA and all these other people, you have to take whatever that lease amount is. So if it's 20 years, say, okay, well, we're going to get $1 million a year for the next 20 years. And then it's essentially like a present value calculation to determine, okay, well, over the next 20 years, we're going to receive $20 million in revenue. And you record that as a receivable.
Right.
And then the deferred outflow is essentially kind of an unearned revenue. And so management uses LeaseQuery. It's a third-party software to determine how much that receivable should be. So in LeaseQuery, you go in and you put what the lease term is going to be and what the interest rate you're expecting to get on that lease, and then how long it's going to be. And LeaseQuery determines, okay, the receivable should be $20 million, and then that's what you record.
So did this increase our receivable
yes.
or decrease
the receivable? Yes, yeah. It increased the receivable, yes. So
there were missing payments that, were,
yes.
that yeah. weren't calculated, and what's the value didn't include
so in the present value.
Yeah, I think this lease, if I remember correctly, goes through like 2034, and on the payment stream in 2028, it went to zero. And so it was kind of missing those future payments. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this increases the receivable.
I think main point I heard is no material misstatements. Nothing
no.
gives you pause. And
yeah.
those immaterial misstatements, as management works to correct what is needed or assess, then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and on the recorded one, I mean, we did work mm-hmm. with management just to make sure that that wasn't an issue on any of the other leases, and it wasn't. So it does appear to be some kind of weird glitch, I think, in LeaseQuery, and I think management's still talking to LeaseQuery to figure out what exactly happened.
Good catch.
Yes. That's why we audit.
we need to do something with that?
No, I think it's, well, I'm not sure, but I think it's on the audit committee.
We have to approve this.
We are seeking your approval for the financial statement audit, yep, and the act first.
Still move.
Do we approve the
No, I don't think so. I think you've got
to do it.
We're not doing the subject to audit, even though we're having an audit committee after this.
Okay.
Because it's all already.
It's already in.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Before I go, Chairman, I would like to say we will be discussing this in the audit committee a little later on, but I do want the committee to know that the port's balance sheet and the liquidity position is strong. We're solid. Right now, year-to-date revenue, operating revenue, we are ahead. Made $168 million over the quarter, and that puts us ahead of budget. The cash flow are definitely meeting expectations. I know the guys from operations, they'll come up soon and they'll talk about how things are going there. But we stand, in our finance division, we stand ready to make adjustments in the event we have to either monitor or modify our spending, or we have to make some adjustments in our investments. Just wanted everybody to know. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, up next, Rich Byrne for instruction. Hi, Rich.
Good morning. Good
morning,
Chairman and Commissioners. I'll be brief. I know there's a long day, but before I get to our four items, I would like to make two shout-outs. One to Tom, of course. Happy Tom Hyde Day, Tom. Charlie talked about the growth in the port. This is the cover of the Port Houston magazine from November of 1982. I think that's the year you joined. And it's, the headline is Economic Impact of Port of Houston, a whopping $3 billion. And we've now, the 23 report is $906 billion. That's a 300-fold return. That's something like 30,000% return. So thank you, Tom, for bringing it on.
I can only take credit for 10,000.
Tom has a lot of impact. And I'll just give an example. We have a training class that many of the Port Houston staff go through, Port Houston University. And we've incorporated two slides in the slide deck that are full of the questions Tom would ask. So everybody understands what Tom is going to ask before they get there. And that's part of the whole strategy that Charlie's trying to drive in terms of greater business acumen across the port and so forth. So, Tom, your impact is going to be lasting, and thank you very much. One more shout-out. It's not Roger Hoday, but we have another person who is retiring after 20 years of service. If you don't mind standing up, Roger. So Roger was promoted to his current role in 2013, and since 2013, PCM has awarded $1.6 billion in projects. So he's overseeing a lot of that, and thank you very much, Roger, for the lasting impact. And Roger is a huge advocate of people. So thank you for that.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I've had two careers, 25 years of my career. I built power plants for Houston Lighting and Power. And my second career is with the final transition is fairly easy. Power plant started with the 14th.
So I'm proud of the work I did building power plants, but I'm extremely proud of the work I did in the shelter. One thing Tom is, if it's anything, is generous with his time and his consideration. So thank you for sharing your day, Tom. We have four agenda items today in infrastructure worth about $5.6 million in requests. I'll highlight two. Item K1 is hiring firms for construction material testing. The water code requires Port Houston to have independent assessors of the acceptability of construction material. And these awards are going to support three new buildings. The new PCC here, a maintenance building here at Turning Basin, a maintenance building at Bayport, and then the Bayport South Access Road. And three of the four firms are both small and minority-owned businesses. And item number two is for design consulting services for Bayport, CY9 and an exit gate to be located in CY1 South. CY9 adds 45 acres to our Bayport footprint. The yard space and gate are supporting Port Houston's growth, strong container growth, and future expansion needs of the Bayport East End. And the design effort includes a 31% commitment to SMWBE business. And so with that, I'll take any questions or ask approval for items 1 through 4.
Motion. Second. Any questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Hello. All right. Good morning, the chairman, commissioners, my favorite accountant, and my favorite civil engineer sharing a great moment today. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Roger, for a great contribution to the port. Glad to work with you all over the years. In addition to the highlights shared earlier, I'd like to provide just a brief overview of maintenance activities before we cover four items in the maintenance division today. We recently took delivery of one reach stacker, 20 yard tractors, 7 of 13 empty container handling machines at Barber's Cut in Bayport. These units are critical to meet the daily demands, terminal demands, and comply with the latest environmental guidelines for emissions. We're also testing, as we speak, first cellular hydrostatic meters along the north side here at Turning Basin. These will help us with water billing and as we order the backbone and capturing the meter readings and so on and so forth. So it's going to facilitate that process and avoid, you know, human error, basically. We're collaborating with the PSO in installing emergency shutoff for the HVAC system on shelter-in-place locations, so that's ongoing. And Pillar 3 work, setting up rules for Maximo and integration with Workday, ERP continues with name convention, asset hierarchy, and integration testing. Okay. Now on to our agenda items. There are four items before you today. I'd like to focus on two of them, L1. Is the approved staff ranking of vendors in award of 2-year contract for mowing services and landscape maintenance, Barber's Cut, Bayport, and Turning Basin. Okay. This contract, 2-year contract, includes tractor mowing, finished mowing, and landscaping services. Okay. We increased the scope significantly this year. In about 550 acres. So the total right now is 830 acres for all three terminals. Several areas, including Greens Bayou and many areas around Bayport complex, are now included into this contract as well. Okay. Item L4 is the purchase of a fruit sweeper for Turning Basin. And we're going to replace unit that's about 10 years old, but does not meet the current EPA standards. So this is to provide those who operate these machines a safer or healthier work environment, I should say, because it is equipped with HEPA filters and so on and so forth. So as they sweep inside the warehouse, they'll be in a better environment as they do their job. Okay. If there are no questions or would like to present items L1 through L4 for your approval today.
So, any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Yep.
Operations,
Schaffner. Morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I'm Mike Schaffner, Director of Container Operations. Tom, thank you. Your leadership, your mentorship, your expertise has a direct correlation to our division's success. So, on behalf of Operations Division, we will remain forever grateful. We wish you the best on this next phase. One item for operations for your consideration, but first, a quick couple bullet points on update on the business side of things. The total tonnage year-to-date across our public terminals is down 2%. Year-to-date container volumes surpassed 1 million. They remain essentially flat compared to last year. If we look at the details a bit, the multi-purpose facilities remain down 7% year to date, but however, they did rebound slightly, up 2% from the previous month, and steel volume up 4% year to date. At the container terminals, March was our busiest month on record. This was driven by strong export volume that increased by 13% compared to last March. Some of that March success was driven by the fog impact of the prior month of February and ships carrying over. If we look at year to date, the container terminals remain down, but just inside 1%, the total TEU. We heard the remarks from Curtis in terms of our financials. They're performing as expected and slightly above, and that's good news there. The full impact of tariffs and fees for Chinese vessels remains a variable that we're keeping a close eye on. To date, what we know is we've had three blanks sailing, the three ships that were scheduled to come that decided to not show. So that'll phase in over the next 6 to 8 weeks. We haven't seen those blanks yet. And we've had one announcement of a Trans-Pacific service that will downsize the smaller ships. Good news, as of today, April is trending up. To date, we've surpassed April 2024 volumes, and we still have 2 days of activity remaining. Also, April looks to be a little bit better than March of the prior, which was, again, a record month. So still strong demand. Back to the agenda item. There's one item for your consideration. This is a request to amend our Section 559 reimbursement services with the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. This agreement's been in effect since 2014 and is periodically amended. What this agreement does is it allows us to open the gates in our terminals outside of standard operating hours upon the request of customers. And the requested funds are estimated to last 3 years. I'm happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, we'll request your approval.
Can I ask? Sure. Go ahead. Not on the three items, but I'm just, could you elaborate on the three Chinese ships that were sent back? What happened to the cargo on those ships, and what's the economic impact?
And so it's not necessarily three Chinese vessels. There's the additional fees on the Chinese built vessels and the tariffs on top of that. The three blank sailings are scheduled to occur over the next 6 to 8 weeks. The cargo will either get picked up by another carrier potentially, or the cargo, if the cargo has dropped and the demand has dropped, then it doesn't make sense for the sailing. What we haven't seen is across the board carriers canceling sailings. This is from one carrier in particular, if that helps clarify.
Okay.
So, Commissioner, the typical reaction in industry is supply and demand. Right now, demand has decreased in the Asian market. And so what they're doing is they're taking plane seats out of the flights to make sure that they keep the capacity and the cost, the value up. So we've had three sailings drop. That's in May and June. Much, much less than all the other ports have faced in the Asian market. We're doing very, very well, in part due to the strength of our exports. And then he also mentioned something just as important. We had a service with bigger vessels that are replacing all of those vessels with slightly smaller, another effort to reduce capacity to keep the pricing at the appropriate level. So it's a supply and demand issue. Our customers react quickly. We react quickly. And what I would just say at a very high level, the impacts we're seeing right now are far better or less than are happening on the West and East Coast of the United States.
I know y'all are trying to stay ahead of that.
Yeah, I think when you think about when he talks about demand, what's happening is that supply chains are adjusting, right? So if you had a contract that you were a supplier buying products from China and there's 145% tariff, they're canceling those contracts and going to other markets that don't have that tariff issue. And that creates less demand for Chinese products, more demand for other products. And ultimately, it's going to be less demand for all products if you have a slowdown and that kind of thing. So it's something to watch for sure. But there are definitely consequences about relative to trade issues that are going on right now, for sure.
I love Amazon now. Interesting to watch.
Well, and just a quick comment. You know, we are already in cost control measures just to be careful for the future. We have a budget. We typically work off the budget. When things change, we change. And so the volumes are below budget expectation, primarily driven by the Asian market. But with the simple philosophy of management of the team, all necessities are getting funded, all niceties are getting challenged. And if we're able, we defer those to a more stable market just to make sure we're living within our means and taking care of the financials. So right now, I think Curtis said it very well for green light. We're very, very cautious. It's on the edge of yellow, and we'll be reacting quickly as the market changes if it does.
Chairman. I'd just like to make a shout out to Mike and Ryan and their whole group. They've been working very, very hard with the labor, trying to make our efficiency better, more productive, and that's what we have to continue to do. Thank you all for the job you do at Mike.
Thank you for the ILA and our partners in making it happen each day.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mike. Okay, up next, sir. Yes, sir.
What a beautiful jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Where's that address?
You're doing good until then.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I did dress for Tom Height Day today.
All right.
As you can tell, this was not my fashion statement choice, but it is something that has been around for 40 years in the making, and it's a big legacy of Tom Height, so wearing it in appreciation of Tom. As we have some big shoes and clothes and jackets to fill moving forward. And also a shout out to Roger Ho as well, who's also worn this jacket in the past as well. So we have some big steps to follow as we move forward, but we thank you guys for your service and for what you've left behind for us. So I have only one item on today for the consideration, but I wanted to provide a couple updates. As has been discussed, at the end of March, we announced an organization restructuring that will be going into effect May 1st. This will align with our new strategic plan as well as some key retirements that have been discussed today. So starting next month, we'll be making some adjustments to reflect the new organization structure in the commission meeting agenda. So you'll see a restructuring and some retitles of that. In addition, we have a new face leading the people division. So I wanted to give a quick shout out to Carlicia Wright, who will be transitioning into the chief people officer role. I'd say she's been transitioning, but she's already taken the helm. So she's jumping in quickly, and I think she's going to be great in that position. So congratulations, Carlicia, on your new role. Additionally, we have one new member of the executive team, so I wanted to congratulate Candace Arminoff on her recent promotion to chief strategy officer position. So she'll be joining the executive team moving forward as well. So big congratulations to you, and long path to the history with the port, and her operational experience combined with the planning is going to do great things for the port moving forward. Back to the agenda, we have one item on this month for your consideration, which is an agreement to amend our background check services. We currently are out to bid for this item. So we're just closing out the contract for this, and so the requested funds are just to get us through this award. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Otherwise, I've requested approval for N1.
Okay,
motion
second. All members, so all in favor to say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Congratulations. Okay. Let's see. Next up, we have. There we go.
Okay. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Tom, thank you for everything. We really appreciate you and PSCO, and we wish you the best of luck in your retirement. And I look forward to one day having a Jessica Thomas Day.
Why not?
I know. I'll put it in the security calendar. My name is Jessica Thomas. I'm the Director of Security for our Port Security Emergency Operations Team. Ensuring the protection of our facilities and monitoring access control is critical for the safety and security of the ports and our terminals. The key to success lies in prioritizing the contract security officers. This involves providing strong management support, an abundance of effective training and quality leadership, and valuable benefits. I would like to take this opportunity to request your approval for item 01 to award a 3-year security services contract to Garda World with an option for one additional 2-year term. This will be a positive step for Port Houston and will help boost the quality of training, leadership, morale, and the retention of contract security personnel who are frontline security support for our facility. Unless there are further questions, I would like to introduce item 01 for your consideration and approval at this time.
Motion. Second. Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
Hope your day doesn't come that soon.
No, thank you.
This morning, Chairman, Commissioners, 9 years, 6 months, 28 days, and this morning. Thank you, Tom. Your strong nose made us better. Your get this fixed now and don't let it happen again made us stronger. I can't say anything else other than that. We have 3 items on the agenda for your consideration. Items 1 and 2 are about information and cybersecurity. The renewal of a current managed security operations center, which clearly we couldn't afford to staff ourselves. It was selected in 2020 via a formal solicitation process, and the first 3 years of that contract was paid for by Port Security Grants. We're going to get a 6-year agreement for the same price of 5 because of the current climate and the strong negotiation skills of James O'Brien, a current Houston CISO Orbie Award winner. Item number 3 is a change order for the ERP project, specifically for the what we call Pillar 3. We've extended our go-live to ensure we get the right requirements and the right vetting of what's going on for asset management, capital projects, maintenance, and project management. It's important to note that this change order should not affect the workday go-live for December of 2025. Reserving your opportunity to ask questions, we ask for your approval of items 1 through 3 in the technology section.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
All right.
December 2025, huh?
Go
live.
Work there.
No. All right. Okay. So that concludes our normal agenda, and we'll go to our executive session.
Okay. Want to take a couple minute break?
Yes, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll do the executive session.
All right. In a closed meeting as permitted by a Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding Houston Ship Channel Expansion Channel Improvement Project and 33 USC 5B and 2236. Real estate, including considerations regarding disposition of Galveston Bay vicinity property and Pelican Island properties, economic development negotiations or incentives, employment evaluation of public officers and employees, including deliberations regarding employment of the chief operating officer of the Port of Marty, and other matters related to view and security matters, including deliberations regarding cybersecurity risk and control matters. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Open your windows. Your ears, everyone. Windows.
Oh.
Yeah. Are we back online? Okay, great. We are back in open session at 11:16 a.m. on April 29th, 2025. Okay, so let's see.
We have to do that. We're going to do that right after this.
Yeah, the first take a motion.
Okay, first, let's go ahead and take the motion that was in the session. Ready? Yep.
I move to authorize the Port Authority to approve a consulting agreement with Tom Hite on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the Chief Executive Officer to do all other things reasonable or necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right. We have the S commercial. So there's a motion, which is S1. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, good. Second. Any questions or comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. Then we have T1, which is another motion. Is there a motion for T1?
Motion.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. What about code of ethics training?
There's the man.
And,
give you the quick summary of the pulling out. Please be ethical.
Yeah.
We need training.
In the background.
All right. Well, this is the annual ethics training. In accordance with our code of ethics, commissioners need to read and have training on the code of ethics every year. That is also true for some of our senior managers at the Port Authority. I want to remind all the senior managers, some of y'all that are here today, you'll also be needing to sign off on this as part of your annual training that you do through the LMS. And you also need to recognize that while we have the code of ethics that applies to both the Port Commission and all of our employees, we also have a set of standards for interaction with interested parties that goes over and above what's in the code of ethics. So today we're going to just be focused on the code of ethics because that's just applicable to the commissioners. But if y'all have any questions about any situations in which someone wants to offer you some sort of benefit or anything along those lines, feel free to reach out and we can discuss that. Just very quickly here, code of ethics. As you can all imagine, the purpose of our code of ethics is to ensure that everyone is acting ethically, putting the public interest of the Port Authority above any private interests that you may have. We want to make sure that we're all taking steps to ensure that we're creating a perception of integrity for the Port Authority. And obviously, at all times here and elsewhere, you should be obeying all applicable laws, regulations, and that sort of thing. Okay. So the first main topic that's covered in our code of ethics is avoiding conflicts of interest. Obviously, this is a situation in which you have some sort of outside interest. Could be a family relationship. Could be a business interest that you have. It could be a business interest of a spouse, for instance, that could come into conflict with the interest of the Port Authority. So when the Port Authority is getting ready to take an action that is going to have some sort of special impact on a business that you are maybe involved in, or something that one of your family members is somehow involved in. For example, if you had a family member that was working for a contractor coming up for a bid or a proposal, we would want you to step out and not participate with respect to any decisions that were being made with respect to that party. And then there would be an affidavit that you would need to file with Eric with respect to that. There are some other conflict of interest requirements. If we are getting ready to enter into or are entering into a contract with a party from whom you have received taxable income, other than investment income, we're not talking about investments here, that exceeds $2,500 in the last 12 months, there's a disclosure that you need to make to say, you know, I've received this in the past 12 months from this potential vendor. Same if you've received any tangible gift from a vendor that exceeds $100, and they recently lowered it. I think it used to be $250, and for some reason they lowered it down to $100 from a company. Again, you need to make a disclosure that you've received that from the company. And then if you have a family relationship, obviously, there's some overlap between these two requirements, but they come from different statutes. I want to make you aware of that. I think you're all aware, commissioners, that you need to file an annual financial statement as well. That's done, I believe, in April of each year.
Tomorrow's the deadline.
Yeah.
I'm going to take all for extension.
Can we ask questions?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, the $100, does that include somebody takes you to lunch? And it's $125 charge?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and, you know, if it's just dollars, your dollars, then actually it would be.
I don't get money, but
I get
a meal.
Yeah.
Or if I go to a gala,
right,
sit at somebody's table.
Yeah. To disclose that if we're getting ready to enter into a contract with them.
Oh, okay. If there's a...
Yeah. So you don't have to, every time you go out and have lunch with someone or something like that, you don't have to disclose it. But if we're getting ready to enter into a contract with the party,
within how many months before?
Well, it's a 12-month rolling.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Conflict of interest. Obviously, you can't receive any commission or fees with respect to anything that the Board of Florida does. You can't act as a surety on any of our construction jobs. Shouldn't make any investments that are going to create a substantial conflict of interest where we're constantly creating an issue for you. Can't act as a lobbyist on behalf of any organization or profession that's related to Port Houston. And there's a limitation on participating in certain maritime trade organizations. I think the statute was originally put in place when we were over the pilot. I think that's really what this was targeted toward. I'm not sure of an example. Why? Okay, I would like to point this one out because it's a little unusual. If any government entity is acquiring some of your property, the property that you own, there's a disclosure that you need to make both with the clerk of the county in which you reside and the clerk of any county in which the property or properties are located. So that's a little unusual because it's not just that Fort Houston is acquiring your property, if any government entity is acquiring your property. Okay. Abuse of public office. Obviously, you shouldn't do anything where you are trying to leverage your position to gain any sort of personal advantage. Shouldn't be doing anything to give you any sort of financial gain. Shouldn't try to influence any of our decisions. Okay, so benefits, what you can and cannot accept. This first slide, there's an absolute prohibition. You shouldn't accept a bribe. You shouldn't have to take, you shouldn't accept all benefits that is intended to influence your decision, right? Or for the purposes of making a decision. No exceptions to that, that's pretty obvious. Where things get a little pinkier is some of the other more general exceptions. There's a general rule that you shouldn't accept benefits from anyone who might be interested in Fort Houston action. That's the general rule, but there are a lot of exceptions to that rule for a lot of very obvious reasons. And we'll talk about some of those exceptions here, but if you have questions, there are more and more details to these that we can talk about later. So what are some of these exceptions? Okay, exception one. It's something you're entitled to by law or something that you pay a legitimate price for. Obviously, you can still buy things. If you've got a relationship independent of the Port Authority, so for instance, if your family member is somehow interested in the Port Authority in some way and gets you a Christmas gift, that's not a problem. Political contribution can be accepted as long as you comply with all of the requirements of the election code. This is for the commissioners. This isn't necessarily the case for all staff, so staff, put your ears on this part. But non-cash benefits under $50, you can accept. When we talk about cash, cash includes, obviously, gift cards and those sorts of things as well, anything that's a cash equivalent. But if someone gives you a tangible gift of a clock or something along those lines, it's less than $50. That's okay. Certain food, lodging, and transportation, as long as it's disclosed, and like I said, we talked about some of the disclosure requirements. This gets back again to some of what you were asking about, Neil. Okay. Honoraria. If someone asks you to go do a speech or presentation somewhere and they want to give you certain kinds of benefits in connection with that, the general rule is you can't for yourself accept any sort of tangible gift that they want to give you. They want to give you a free TV for giving a speech or something along those lines. You can't accept that. But you can generally accept food, lodging, transportation, those sorts of things in connection with that. In some instances, someone may present you with something like a plaque or something along those lines that you can sort of in turn pass along and keep at the or be given to you for Houston. So,
can you accept an honorarium if it's directed to a not-for-profit that she designates?
So are you talking about a situation, for example, where you're not necessarily representing the port, but you're representing?
No, representing the port.
Okay.
I'm going to give them $1,000 to a charity of your choice. Yeah, I wanted to say, hey, give $1,000 to a charity of my choice.
Okay. Yeah. So we can talk about that because that has come up in certain situations, and typically the answer is we could probably do that. It's not going to you, it's going somewhere else. But we want to talk about this. Nepotism. Just so you know, our current rules state that Port Houston will not hire any relatives of any commissioner. No employees are supposed to be involved in the hiring of any of their relatives. No employees are supposed to be involved in any decision-making regarding the employment of any of their relatives. The employees can't trade with one another and say, I'll hire your relative if you hire mine. There is an exception for personal attendance. Next.
No ballot.
Okay. Outside employment, just so you are aware, obviously, employees and should not have any outside employment that is going to conflict with their responsibilities within the Port Authority. Senior managers, after the Charlie approval for considered outside employment, and Charlie would need to receive the commission approval. Former commissioners of the executive director, there's a 2-year post-service ban on communication. With the commission, with the intent to influence on behalf of, you know, like a particular individual or a company coming in trying to say, you know, you should hire so and so. Former commissioners and employees are not supposed to participate in matters that you worked on. This is mostly applicable to employees. For instance, if someone was starting and working on the design of a particular construction company or project, and then they went and worked for a construction company, you know, they wouldn't be involved with that project moving forward. And then the commission has to approve certain contracts with former employees or their new employers for 12 months after an employee's departure. We've had a few of the past couple of years that have come up.
Hit one today.
Good use of public property. Obviously, Port Houston property should only be used for the reason that it was given to someone, an employee or a commissioner. And Port Houston information, from time to time, obviously, you'll get confidential information, those sorts of things. You shouldn't use those to help yourself or others. Port Houston prohibits discrimination, harassment, and retaliation. We have a number of different channels by which employees and outside parties can raise concerns if they think any of these things are happening, and then obviously those are going to be investigated promptly and dealt with appropriately. Penalties for violations of the Code of Ethics. You know, some of the provisions in the Code of Ethics are pulled from the Penal Code, so there are instances in which if you do something egregious enough, that could result in criminal liability, but generally speaking, with respect to us, as you would imagine, there are letters of reprimand, dismissal from the commission, and the possible disciplinary step for a violation. Next slide. And that is it. Any questions? One last point. Y'all should have received a copy of the Code of Ethics with an acknowledgement form. The acknowledgement form includes our fitness training and also that you've reviewed it. If you need some more time to fill those out, feel free to take the time and we'll perhaps do about it later. If not, I can select those now. Those of you that are managers that are here for the training, there is a sign-in sheet that you can sign. Y'all have the acknowledgement that you do via the LMS. You don't need to do that right now, so you can do the
sign-in. Any questions? Questions or concerns? Okay. All right. That completes our meeting, I believe. So our next meeting is May 20th. And we will adjourn the Port Commission meeting then.
Thank you.
We have an audit committee meeting coming up right now.